Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Thursday, January 16th. We're talking about everything from the impeachment trial to why Russia's government just resigned to a landmark but controversial vote in Virginia. Plus, tiny living robots are now a thing and Whitney Houston's newest honor. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday. We're explaining Harry and Meghan's royal exit. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. President Trump's impeachment trial is officially in motion. House Democrats delivered the articles of impeachment to the Senate yesterday, setting the stage for only the third impeachment trial in American history, where the Senate will decide whether to remove President Trump from office or not. Today, Politico reports Chief Justice John Roberts will swear in all 100 senators, though the trial won't really get underway until next week after the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday. But both sides have now chosen the people to make their cases. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the 7 House Democrats who will be the impeachment managers, or the people who will serve as prosecutors in the trial. As expected, it's led by House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff, who already played a big role in the impeachment inquiry. It's a diverse group. There are 4 men and 3 women, including 2 African-Americans and 1 Latina. Though they all do have something in common, they have a background in either law or law enforcement. Pelosi says she chose the people who could make the best case and be most comfortable in the courtroom. As for President Trump's arguments, Fox News reports he's chosen White House counsel Pat Cipollone to lead his defense. He's been advising the president during this whole process and was the main reason the White House told others not to cooperate with the impeachment inquiry. Trump's defense team includes 3 other lawyers as well, and they say others may cycle through as needed. Will we hear from any new witnesses during this trial? That's still TBD. And there's now some controversy about how much access reporters on Capitol Hill will have during the trial. More to come next week. Some new developments in the trade war between the world's 2 largest economies. ABC News reports President Trump and China's vice premier signed phase 1 of a trade agreement yesterday. The deal forces China to buy more U.S. exports and stop pressuring American tech companies to share trade secrets. It also allows U.S. banks and insurers to expand in China. In exchange, The Wall Street Journal reports the U.S. will cut tariffs in half on $120 billion in Chinese products. President Trump called this a momentous step, but critics say the deal is weak and was already covered by existing agreements. Regardless, the new agreement had a positive impact on the stock market. MarketWatch reports the S&P 500 and Dow closed at record highs yesterday, and it was a significant milestone for the Dow that closed above 29,000 for the first time. Russia's government was just flipped on its head. NBC News reports the country's prime minister and entire government resigned, though the outgoing officials say they did not do this in protest, that they're just getting out of the way of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Putin apparently wants to restructure the government, potentially carving out a path for him to stay in power well past his presidency. The New York Times reports Putin wants to give the prime minister, parliament, and a body called the State Council more authority, and in doing so would strip some power from future presidents. Putin says he's doing this to enhance democracy, but the timing can't be ignored. He's not allowed to run for president again in 2024 because of term limits, but he could become prime minister or take another government role. No matter the reason for this, Putin's plan would require changes to the Constitution, so he's calling for a nationwide vote. If it does go through, it'll be the first major overhaul of Russia's political order since the 90s. Smoke from the wildfires in Australia has spread around the world. NASA has been using a fleet of satellites to study it and found since last month, the smoke has traveled halfway around Earth and even affected the air quality in other countries. In fact, CNN reports NASA expects the smoke from the fires to make at least one full circuit around the globe and then return to Australia. Already in that country, the Weather Channel says the air quality is so bad from the devastating fires, some professional tennis players had to withdraw from their matches during the Australian Open. Well, back in the U.S., Virginia made history this week. State lawmakers passed the Equal Rights Amendment, or ERA, which guarantees equal rights to everyone, regardless of sex. It's a big moment in a long effort to add protections for women to the U.S. Constitution. And here's why it's big. Under the U.S. Constitution, amendments become law when they're passed by at least 3/4 of state legislatures, or 38 of the 50 states. Well, NPR reports Virginia just became the 38th state to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. So supporters celebrated, saying it's time to finally guarantee women's rights in the Constitution. But here's the thing. Since it's been almost 100 years since the ERA was first introduced, the original deadline expired in the 80s. There are different legal opinions about this, but the Justice Department has said it's too late. There are also different thoughts about what the ERA would actually do. Some critics say it's pointless since women are already achieving great things, and some argue it would make it harder to limit abortion if there's an argument that they discriminate against women. So this will likely end up in court. If you're interested in learning more about the history and some of the untold stories of this particular fight, there is a new podcast about it called Ordinary Equality. All right, we have more news ahead, but first let's take a quick break for our sponsor today, Zola. Whenever my newly engaged friends ask for wedding planning advice, I like to say focus on the few things that matter most to you, the couple, and try to let everything else go. Look, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make, so leave the little stuff up to Zola. Zola offers everything you need in one place, so it's easy and makes things less stressful and more organized. For one, Zola offers free wedding websites, and they also have beautiful, affordable invites and paper, plus a free guest list manager to collect addresses and track online RSVPs. And my favorite part about Zola, they offer the highest rated registry of all time, where you can register for gifts, experiences, and honeymoon funds. Join the 1 million couples Zola has already helped. Go to zola.com/newsworthy today and use the promo code SAVE50 to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get a free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off save the dates at zola.com/newsworthy with the promo code SAVE50. Now back to the news. Federal health officials say it's now safe to eat romaine lettuce once again. The CDC lifted the warning about E. coli in romaine, saying the outbreak is likely over. USA Today reports nearly 200 people in 27 states got sick, but thankfully no one died. Officials are still working to find out where the E. coli outbreak started. Scientists have created the world's first living robots that can apparently heal themselves. CNN says they're made from frog stem cells, and they're tiny, only about a millimeter wide. They can walk, swim, and work together. Researchers call these so-called xenobots a new life form. They aren't metal like normal robots. Instead, they're more like a blob of flesh. Engadget says eventually these could be used inside the human body to reprogram tumors, deliver drugs, or scrape plaque out of arteries. Of course, researchers are still learning about this technology, and it'll be a while before they're used for a specific purpose. Hugely popular gamer Ninja has made millions of dollars playing the game Fortnite, and now he'll be in the game. Kind of. Business Insider says Fortnite is adding a ninja skin to the game, which is basically a character that's supposed to look like Tyler Blevins, who is known as Ninja. Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, says they'll bring more real-world personalities to the game soon, and Ninja is just the first. Music playlists for your pets? Yep, Spotify is creating a list of songs that both you and your pet will like. This may be an odd idea, but Spotify apparently knows what it's doing. The company did a survey online and found about 71% of pet owners around the world actually play music for their pets, and they believe they enjoy it. Or maybe it's just designed to get a lot of attention for Spotify. Either way, you have to go to Spotify's pet playlist website to get your playlist. There, you'll be able to select what kind of pet you have, like cat, dog, iguana, bird, or hamster. You'll also answer a few questions about their traits, and Spotify will do the rest. Well, several more names are being added to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, including Whitney Houston, the Doobie Brothers, the Notorious B.I.G., and more. Variety says the inductees were voted in by a group of more than 1,000 artists and members of the music industry. They looked at things like style, musical influence, and length of their careers. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony will air live on HBO in May. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And today we're breaking down what it really means that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle want to step back from their roles as senior royals and be more independent. Remember, the couple made the surprise and unprecedented announcement last week. So my guest today is royal expert Victoria Arbiter. She spent a lifetime in close proximity to the British royal family, and she has extensive knowledge about what's happening. She's the CNN royal commentator and regularly contributes to CBS, Entertainment Tonight, and more. So here's my conversation with Victoria Arbiter. Hi, Victoria. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me.
So before we talk a lot about Harry and Meghan's plan for the future, I first want to make sure we all really understand what it even means to be a senior royal. So how big of a deal is it that they want to step back from it? And what does that even mean?
It really is, Erica, not to put too fine a point on it, but it's a huge deal. And I understand why people around the world are looking at this, what amounts to a royal soap opera unfold, and they're wondering, why does it matter so much? But you have to remember that not only is Prince Harry the grandson of the current queen, but he's the son of the future king. And that's where things become incredibly important. So the idea of him not being there is what's thrown everyone a little, I think, because when we do look ahead, and we see that we have Prince Charles as King Charles III, supported by his wife, Queen Consort, who'll be Camilla. And then there's just William and Kate, because the Cambridge children won't be full-time working royals for a good 20 years at the very earliest. So the absence of Harry and Meghan is really going to be felt. Already it's going to be felt, but particularly during the reign of Charles.
So what are they really stepping away from? What kind of role are they stepping away from?
They're really stepping away from a huge role, because in terms of the level of support they offer the Queen and what they would have been offering to Charles and Camilla, it's dramatic. You have to look at the royal family and think their reach is not just the UK. The Queen is head of state to 16 nations, which are known as the Commonwealth realms. She's also head of the Commonwealth. It's already been confirmed that Charles will one day take over that role as head of the Commonwealth. Amongst them, they oversee hundreds, thousands, perhaps, of patronages, organizations. They hold ceremonial roles within the military. So there are a number of different responsibilities. So really, when we talk about Harry and Meghan no longer being there, we don't know what that picture is going to look like yet, because we don't know what the finer details are. That's all being decided as we speak. We don't have any kind of precedent for a royal being half royal, half civilian. There's just no working model for that. So at the moment, we're all wondering how that's going to look.
The Queen recently put out a statement saying she supports them, although it's not really what she would prefer. What do you take away from that statement if you're reading between the lines?
I think the Queen was in a very difficult position because, of course, she's responsible for finding a solution that is acceptable to the British public and also that protects the institution of monarchy. But she's also a grandmother and she's very close to Prince Harry. They've always enjoyed a warm, affectionate relationship. So I think really what we saw in the Queen's statement was her disappointment in their decision. I want to be clear, she's not disappointed at them. She's disappointed in the final decision because, of course, she would much rather harness the good that Harry and Meghan have already proven they're capable of within the confines of the royal family. But at the same time, what we saw in that statement was very much a grandmother wanting to support what it is that Harry and Meghan want to achieve. Nobody wants them to be unhappy. Life is far too short for people to be leading the rest of their adult life in abject misery. So I think really what we saw from the Queen was a white flag. She was saying, yes, we wish you would stay, and there's a place for you if you decide to stay, but I respect your wishes, and if it is an independent lifestyle that you want, we'll work to accommodate that.
There's been a lot of friction between Harry and Meghan and the tabloids in the UK. Some are even saying racism has something to do with it. What's your take on that conflict and also the press's role in their ultimate decision?
Prince Harry has long struggled with the media. We have only to look to what happened with his mum to understand why. Even when he was small, when his mother was still around, he witnessed her being chased by the paparazzi. So we can understand why he is so conflicted in terms of his privacy being invaded. He's constantly being held to account. Now we bring into the fold a woman who is not just biracial. She happens to be the first biracial member of the royal family. She's American. She's an actress. She's a divorcee. Just one of these elements would have been seen as a problem 5, even 10 years ago. It's not anymore. So in that regard, amazing. The royal family has been propelled into the 21st century. But of course, what came with that were people's feelings towards any one of those elements. And in my mind, although people will stringently deny it, I think there's no question racism has played a role. On some level, there's been an unconscious bias. On another level, there's been overt racism. And that's very unfortunate. It's a poor indictment on the world as it is today that we couldn't welcome this woman into the fold. And anyone that was there on the wedding day would have felt the sense of optimism and excitement that the royal family was finally reflecting modern Britain. So where it all went horribly wrong, I couldn't say, but the press has played its part. There have been people that have criticized the monarchy for not displaying a more open show of support. So I think we can't lay the blame at any one party. There's a number of factors that have led to this decision.
All right, so what happens next? I know it's a little bit complicated, but what are at least a few things we should know about how they plan to be financially independent and where they'll live?
That's the million-dollar question. The Queen's statement, while it was very personal, it was a lovely statement, actually. It hit all of the right notes. It didn't really confirm any details other than the fact Harry and Meghan plan to divide their time between Canada and the UK. Canada ticks a number of boxes. It's a Commonwealth realm. It's one of the most important, significant Commonwealth realms. So I can see why they want to be in Canada, particularly given Meghan's history there while she was working on Suits. How this works moving forwards is what is really being ironed out behind the scenes, because there is security to think about. They have to be kept secure. They are prime targets. But who pays for that security? People will say Harry and Meghan, they are independently wealthy already. Yes, they are. But security of that level is incredibly expensive. Then what is the role that they're going to continue within the royal family? Can they maintain a role within the royal family? And then where it starts to get really complicated is in terms of them being independently financial, or financially independent, should I say. How does that work? Because there is no successful working model for an HRH having commercial interests. Yes, they might be private citizens, but whatever they do will reflect on the monarchy. So they have to make sure that any earnings are clean earnings, that no money has come from unscrupulous sources. They have to make sure that there's not a political element to it that could potentially be embarrassing to the Queen, who's required to remain politically neutral. There are still going to be huge restrictions on what it is they're able to do and how they're able to monetize their brand.
Any final thoughts you want to add?
So we have to acknowledge that people are very divided on this decision. But I think where we can all come together is no one wants Harry and Meghan to be unhappy. So there is the potential for some positivity to come out of this. We don't know what the future looks like, but perhaps there's now going to be a blueprint for future generations of royals who want out. We don't know. And it's important really to just wait and see how this transpires. There's an awful lot that needs to be ironed out, and it's going to take time.
And you can learn more about our guest today and read more about all the topics mentioned in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening today. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.